Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Director's Box podcast. It's Kev and Craig Gill coming at you as always. Craig, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Kevin. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Those who have listened to the first 10 episodes are going to do things slightly differently from here on in. Obviously, we're approaching the end of the football season. So just to streamline the content and everything, we're going to bring three sort of quick fire podcasts at you each week on the Director's Box app. We're going to do this one here, which covers the weekend that's just gone, and we'll look ahead to a big end of season weekend in the EFL. We'll also do another podcast where we do our talking point, which we've done at the start of previous podcasts. We'll do that separately, and we'll talk about a couple of polls that are up on the Director's Box app in a third sort of section of the week. But we'll start off with a look back and a look ahead, Craig, as we usually do, and let's reflect on two really good FA Cup semi-finals, or one really, really good FA Cup semi-final. Another one was kind of not a damp squib, but the first one, Chelsea against Manchester City, it really needed Nicholas Jackson to have his shooting boots on, didn't it? Because the longer Chelsea couldn't score, you just got the feeling Man City were going to punish them at the other end.
Yes, I think so, Kev. I think you know, with Man City's qualities, you know, I think any team that plays them at the moment, you know, has to take their chances when they, you know, when they arise, really. And unfortunately for Chelsea, they didn't, as you said. Obviously, Manchester City coming off the back of the Wednesday Champions League second leg against Real Madrid, and then having to, you know, play an important game at Wembley, you know, for, you know, in a semi-final, ready for a potential, you know, opportunity to win even more silverware. I thought that was a little bit harsh on Manchester City, to be honest with you, and you know, maybe we can discuss that in further detail as well. But as far as the game concerned, yeah, you're right. Chelsea did miss opportunities, and Man City, as you'd expect, duly punished them.
Yeah, they did. Pep was not pleased, was he, after the game with the scheduling. I think he's got a point. The other two teams weren't in Europe in the midweek, but this one's on the FA, isn't it? If you're going to schedule FA Cup semi-finals at Wembley on the same weekend as the London Marathon, you're asking yourself, you're opening yourself up to problems, aren't you? Obviously, police in London wouldn't have wanted Chelsea fans trying to get to Wembley on the same day as the London Marathon, hence why the Chelsea-Man City game was on the Saturday. If they really need to wake up and stop scheduling major events alongside another major event. And in the UK, the London Marathon is as major an event outside of football as you're going to get. So that's something that certainly needs to be looked at. I agree with you, Craig. I think Pep had a real point there. We're asking too much of footballers at the minute. They're playing an awful lot of games, and to give them a little bit of sort of latitude, particularly when the other game could have been played at a different time, I think we've really got to start looking at that, particularly this year into next year, where we've got a Euros and a Copa America. Players are going to get no rest whatsoever, and nobody really wants to see diluted football. We want to see the best against the best, and we're not getting that. But we did see some brilliant football in that second semi-final, Craig. And I mean, to be fair, for 70 minutes, it looked as one-sided as a Premier League game against a Championship side should do. Manchester United absolutely controlled the game, certainly for the first 45 minutes. Coventry just could not get to grips with them at all. They could barely get out their own half. They were hemmed in. Man United eventually went 3-0 up. And then it changed. This is a side that are as flaky a Manchester United side as I've ever seen. And once Chelsea, keep calling them Chelsea, once Coventry started putting some pressure on them, they just crumbled. And before you knew it, it was 3-3. And just a brilliant first 90 minutes before we even get to the highs and lows of extra time.
Yeah, as you said, you know, Manchester United 2-0 up at half time, fairly comfortable. Bruno Fernandes then scores, doesn't he, around about the hour mark, 58 minutes, to put them 3-0 up. You think that's it, done deal, you know, job done. Manchester United fans start booking your travel arrangements and your hotels for the final at Wembley. And then Coventry City, you know, showing great characters. They have done all season, actually, and especially in their wins against Premier League sides earlier on in the competition. Turned it around in fashion, really. Sims getting the first after 71 minutes. O'Hare then on 79. And then Wright getting equaliser in the 95th with a penalty. And then, of course, we had that, you know, that goal then ruled out by Victor Torp in injury time, in extra time for offside by VAR.
Yeah, I mean, your heart's got to go out to Coventry fans, haven't they? I mean, they thought they'd won it. I mean, with the naked eye, first look, didn't really look like there was anything wrong with the goal. I suppose if you get it under a microscope and the sort of minuteness that VAR brings to the game now, there's an argument that, you know, his toenail was offside. But whether you want major games sort of decided by toenails or blades of grass or stride patterns or anything like that, I mean, we'll debate that when we talk about a couple of polls that are on the Director's Box app in a different section on this week's podcast. But to go through the highs of thinking that you've won it only for seconds later, you know, to have it dashed away and then having to go to penalties, I mean, Coventry fans will not want to see their team take another penalty at that end of Wembley ever again, Craig. I mean, they lost the playoff final at that end last season. Now they've lost an FA Cup semi-final there, a semi-final that you could probably argue over the whole 120 minutes, they may not have deserved to win, but they've done enough to get themselves back in and win it. It's just, to lose in that fashion is just heartbreaking.
It is, yeah. And we spoke about, you know, obviously we spoke about penalty shootouts when we covered the Wales Euro qualifying game, didn't we? And yeah, as much as people say it's a lottery, actually I don't think it is. I think it's down to technique and skill and strong psychological mindset. And yeah, unfortunately for Coventry and Coventry City fans, obviously United won 4-2 on pens.
Yeah, another penalty shootout where the goalkeeper must have listened to that chat, Craig, because Coventry's goalkeeper just stood still for Casemiro's first penalty and what do you know, blasted straight at him. And an easy save, unfortunately, for Coventry. Their penalties weren't as good as they were in the playoff final last year. Two of them missed. One of them, the last one, once again, completely missed the target. And pressure told, really, didn't it? The longer... Once United got on level terms in that shootout, you kind of saw every single Coventry player walking forward, looking a lot more nervous than the one that went before him. And ultimately, as you say, their technique failed them.
Yes, unfortunately, I very much favour the underdog in these sort of situations, Rudy. And yeah, it would have been nice to have seen Coventry City at Wembley in the final against Manchester City, obviously two sky blue teams. However, it wasn't to be, and Manchester United obviously set up the Manchester Derby for the FA Cup final, which I'm sure we're all looking forward to.
Indeed, yeah. Manchester Derby FA Cup final next month. And of course, we'll have a look ahead to that in the week leading up to the game. Let's just close off this first part of the podcast, Craig, by looking at the EFL. It's the last week of the season in League One and League Two. There's still so much to play for. Obviously, we know that Portsmouth have won League One, but we don't yet know who's going to follow them up automatically. Derby are in the box seat. They're 3 points ahead of Bolton. And they host Carlisle, already relegated Carlisle, on Saturday, needing only a point to get a return back to the Championship. So the ball's very much in their court. But of course, if they slip up, were they to lose the game, then Bolton can still catch them. They have a tricky-looking test away to Peterborough, albeit Peterborough playing for absolutely nothing. Now they're waiting for the playoffs to come along. And Bolton would need to overturn a four-goal difference deficit. So you need a Bolton win, a Derby loss, and four goals in amongst that. It's all in Derby's hands going into the final day.
Yes, I think everybody would agree that Derby have got to be favourites to clinch that second automatic spot. And an interesting point you make actually about the Bolton Peterborough game. Obviously, even if Peterborough win that game, the goal difference for Bolton is +7 over Peterborough. So it'd have to be some shift, obviously, for Peterborough to get that third slot, which obviously might then give them a more favourable semi-final tie then against the team finishing in sixth.
It would, and we are yet to know who that team finishing in sixth are. It's sort of two from four now all of a sudden. I mean, Barnsley have looked secure in the playoffs pretty much all season, but just as the finish line has approached, they're getting further and further away from it, has to be said. Without a win in five, they've sacked their manager with one game to go. That's a That's either going to be a crazy move or a genius move. We'll find out. But they're at home to Northampton. They're in fifth. They're a point ahead of the chasing pack. If they win, they're in. If they lose, crikey, they're leaving the door open to the chasers. Lincoln are the team in sixth. They're currently occupying the final playoff spot, courtesy of a really, really strong run. However, they're at home to the champions, Portsmouth, who probably want to finish their League One campaign on a high. So that's not necessarily going to be easy. And were they to slip up, Oxford and Blackpool will be licking their lips because they can still get into the playoffs. Oxford go to Exeter, mid-table side. Not a huge amount to play for, you would say, albeit they're coming home with a wet sail. They've won four of their last five, Exeter. And Blackpool, who could yet sneak in from the gods, really, from the clouds. They've won their last four. If they can win at Reading, they only need two of the teams above them to slip up in tricky contests, and it will be them that snatches the spot as they look for a return to the championship themselves. This is where the sort of headline action is going to be on the final day in League One, Craig. Two from four, and it's impossible to call.
It's a fantastic contest, isn't it? And you know, as it has been, you know, across all the leagues as we covered over the weeks, you know, Kevin. And yeah, that League One, you know, playoff promotion battle for those four places is well, certainly for fifth and sixth, certainly. Yeah, it's intriguing. And you mentioned the Barnsley situation. You know, Barnsley have lost four of their last five, with only a draw in between two pairs of losses, if you like. Yeah, and for them to change their manager at this stage of the season with one game to go is quite an incredible decision. And as you say, you know, it could be complete genius, you know, waiting for a potential bounce, you know, and an effect on the players, or it could be it could lead to mass disappointment in Barnsley not making the playoffs after, as you say, after being involved in those places for so long.
Yeah, it will be really interesting to see how that goes down at Oakwell. Huge pressure on. But a home game against Northampton is probably the sort of game that you would want if you want a win to secure your playoff spot. There is also one thing to determine at the bottom end of the table, Craig. One spot left in the relegation zone, and it's one from three. Cheltenham currently occupy the last of those spots, but they did give themselves some solace with a win in midweek. It's kept their hopes alive. They go to Stevenage, knowing that if they win, Burton would then have to win their game in order to stay up. Unfortunately for Cheltenham fans, Burton are at Fleetwood, who are already relegated. The other team in the mix, Cambridge United, and they go to the other relegated side, Port Vale. This is also going to be a nervy afternoon down at the bottom, Craig. And if Cheltenham can perform the great escape, having gone 12 games at the start of the season without scoring a single goal, that would be memorable.
Well, we covered that earlier on, didn't we, Kevin, in one of the early podcasts? And to go 12 goals without even scoring is you know, an amazing you know, stat, really. But I think it's going to be tight for them, you know, going to Vinage, you know, who have been in and around the playoffs themselves. You know, they're currently sitting in ninth. Yes, I think that's going to be a massive ask of Cheltenham. However, as you said, they did win the last game. You know, as did Burton, of course, they won their last game as well. So, and Burton having the more favourable game, as you said. Yeah, I think I would, in this situation, I think I'd go with Burton just to edge it. And, you know, I'm sure Cheltenham fans will be looking back on those 12 games without scoring a goal, for sure.
Yeah, they will. Huge day, final day of League One. 12:30 kickoff Saturday, all of those games. And if you can follow them, you're not going to be disappointed. There's going to be the drama guaranteed at all ends of the table. Not quite so much the case in League Two, Craig, where we already know the three automatic promoted sides. Stockport County are going to go up to champions. Mansfield and Wrexham are going to go up either second or third in whichever order. Wrexham play Stockport on the final day of the season, so Mansfield are in the box seat for second. But of course, it's three teams that go up, so I don't suppose either particularly care there. We know Milton Keynes Dons are going to finish fourth, but what we don't know is who's going to be in the playoffs. At the moment, we've got Doncaster in there on 70. They are absolutely flying. Nine straight wins. They've come from the clouds as well to get into the playoffs. They could be the ones that nobody wants in the postseason, should they get there. They're on 70 with the best goal difference, +5. Crewe also on 70, one goal less plus four with their goal difference, lost their last two, going in the wrong direction at the wrong time. Talking of teams going in the wrong direction at the wrong time, Barrow have lost four of their last five. One stage they were looking okay for automatic promotion. Now they're holding the last playoff spot on 68 points, 2 points off of the two sides above them. But they are in control of their own destiny. If they can find that elusive win at home to, albeit second place, Mansfield, then they will be in the playoffs. Were they to lose Barrow, they open the door up to Crawley Town, who can still get in. They've also been hovering around the playoffs all season, but have kind of come out at the wrong time. Four games without a win themselves. Crawley host Grimsby, who aren't really playing for an awful lot here, but it's Bradford who could be the spoilers to both Barrow and Crawley's party. They've won their last four, including a win at Barrow in midweek. And if they can win again and the other two lose, then it'll be Bradford who are in. Bradford home to Newport. It's looking like Barrow's race has hit the skids at the wrong time. That game at Mansfield is the hardest of the lot.
Yeah, I agree. As you said, you know, going to Newport County, and Newport, unfortunately, my hometown club, of, you know, they're on a really bad run at the moment. They've lost their last six on the bounce. But again, you know, an intriguing situation, isn't it? Barrow are on a poor run as well. They've lost five of their last six, only haven't drawn the other one. You know, and Bradford on a great run. You know, they've won, as you said, five of their last six, with only one draw in amongst that as well. So, yeah, again, it's all going to go to the last. And yeah, I'm sure the supporters of all those teams will be waiting on bated breath for the final whistle in all those games.
They will indeed. Yep. Also, one relegation spot out of the Football League still to be finalised. It's one from two now. We followed this quite closely over recent weeks, haven't we? Forest Green have already gone. Grimsby have escaped. Their win last week kept them up. So it's now a straight shootout. Sutton and Colchester. Sutton, 41 points, drawn their last two games, kept them in the mix. Colchester, 44 points, 3 points ahead of Sutton and four goals ahead of Sutton. So not only does Sutton need to win their last game of the season, they need to win it well enough to overcome a four-goal deficit. So Colchester host Crewe. Crewe currently in sixth place, looking for a playoff spot themselves. Sutton go to Milton Keynes. It'll be interesting to see what Milton Keynes are up to. They're finishing fourth, whatever happens. And the first leg of the semi-finals in League Two come quite hot on the heels of this game on Saturday. So it might be that Sutton get a rested sort of second string Milton Keynes side with their star men waiting for that playoff game, which of course they've already secured. So nervy afternoon in store at the bottom as well, Craig.
Yeah, very tight again, Kevin, is it? It's one from two, as you said. Sutton have drawn their last two games, whereas Colchester have lost their two. And of course, as you said, one of the teams is playing at Crewe. Crewe, you know, as we've already mentioned, they're in there. They need to finish as high as they can, potentially, for that playoff spot. So, yeah, very interesting at the bottom again, Kevin. And same scenario, isn't it? You know, it was all going to go down to the wire.
Is indeed. Yep, 3 o'clock kickoffs for those games on Saturday in League Two. And of course, we will reflect on all of the action next week when we'll know exactly who's gone up, who the playoff semi-finals will be, and of course, who unfortunately have been relegated to another division. That's pretty much it for the first part of the podcast. All I will say is the four sides that are in the National League playoff semi-finals this weekend deliver us some really good football. I always like watching these National League playoffs. One leg, straight shootout, get on with it. And of course, we've had the nonsense that Gateshead weren't allowed to enter, but we can forget that and it'll be decided on the pitch now, Craig. So four sides looking for a place at Wembley, and we'll reflect on those next week as well as we look ahead to the National League final. If you are going to a game this weekend, enjoy it. As always, be respectful, but most importantly, enjoy your football wherever it is that you're going. And for the sort of review part of the podcast, Craig and I will be back next week.
Enjoy your game.